Set off on today's adventure, we want to thank our sponsor, Hero Forge, for supporting today's episode. Every die tells a story, and now with Hero Forge's 3D custom printed dice, that story can be yours. Each die is 3D printed using the same process as Hero Forge's color miniatures, with your character or emblem sealed inside a crystal clear shell. They're perfectly weighted, fully customizable, and available in every polyhedral shape, even XL dice and D20 life counters. Choose your colors, size, and layout, and craft a set that's as unique as your campaign. And if you're ready to bring your hero to life beyond the dice, Hero Forge also offers fully customizable miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all in your browser. Order in bronze, color plastic, or color standees, or download your file to print at home. Hero Forge adds new parts every week, so there's always something new to discover. Visit HeroForge.com to design your custom dice and mini today. That's HeroForge.com, because there's a story in every roll. Hello and welcome to Forgotten Paths. My name's Noah Downs. I'm your GM, and I'm here with two individuals and a puppy. For those of you only listening to audio, you don't see the puppy. For those of you who are listening to video, assuming we get our shit together and put this on YouTube or something like that, you see a beautiful puppy.
He's hunting for carrots.
Yeah, or turnips, depending on how recently you played Animal Crossing.
No, I'm not letting you get away with this.
It saved me in 2020. Anyways,
I mean, same.
That is, we have Sachi and Diana, and I'm excited.
Yeah. I was literally just told, like, hey, Diana, put this on your schedule. And I was like, what are we doing? And he's like, we're getting you and Mizuki in for a little side quest. And I was like, yeah. Okay, great. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
It's the first mini series after campaign 3 ends. This is the first content after the end of campaign 3, and spoiler, Mizuki survived.
Yeah, spoiler alert, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. If not, Red's entire miniseries is going to be a quest of vengeance.
Vengeance against death.
Crash out over the woman who made you gay.
Yeah. listen, where is the U-Haul going to park if not in death?
Put that on a shirt.
That's actually wild. Oh my god. So, yeah, y'all. So, first of all, how's things going? Diana, it's really good to see you again. What you been up to? What are you working on? I saw that you're doing a podcast.
It's great to be here. Dude, yeah, I'm in the podcast field now. You inspired me. I was like, this guy's putting out a podcast. I got to do one better.
If this guy can do it, anyone can.
This asshole.
fucking guy.
Yeah, I do a podcast where my friend Odin and I get together and we just riff for like an hour. Cool. We create a world from scratch, and then later on we bring all our nerd friends in and do some nerd shit in the world that everyone watched us build. So
my god,
yeah, we're gonna make a system agnostic world and run some games in it, so it's good. It's doing really fucking well so far, actually.
That's phenomenal. I was about to say, like, this is gonna come out sometime in like October.
Oh, in that case, it's doing so well. It's won 3 awards by now. We're nominated for an Oscar, actually. Didn't know they did that for podcasts. They changed it for us, actually.
That's not how they work.
They added a category.
Shut up.
Damn, that's not how they work.
listen, I'm manifesting.
The little known Oscar, which is actually just a grouch that pops out of a trash can and hands you a piece of gold.
That sounds like my ex.
Anyway, this episode is dedicated to Sachi's ex.
Yeah.
Which one?
Sachi, you're gay? Anyways.
God.
We need to get through this episode.
We do.
Oh my God. Anyways, so Diana, it's good to see you again, friend. I hope listen, if for some reason we get to October and you just want to kill Odin, I'll just remove this section from the entire podcast.
It'll hell yeah.
Yeah. Sounds great. Listen, that's the benefit of editing. Austin, don't cut that unless we need to. Check in with me. Sachi, what's going on, friend? I miss seeing you.
Hi. Hey, in October, I might have moved to another state, but we don't know. Yeah.
I'm advocating for a very specific place.
A very specific now Noah's place.
Okay, when I manifest, it's weird. When Noah does it, it's totally fine.
It happens, actually. I've sorry, that was kind of mean.
Weird flex. All right. Weird flex.
No, hold on. Law firms that deal with content.
Well, Noah, you're fired. And but yeah, no, Sachi. So and you're working on things. Hopefully by the time this comes out, you've announced another show that you're on.
Yeah, hopefully by the time this comes out, I have announced several things, but I never know. So I just don't say anything. And you'll find out with the rest of the world whenever anything happens. I also run the socials for Forgotten Paths now. So,
yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I do. I do do that. No, it was like, just take the passwords.
All of my fan mail has gone straight to you, where I'm like, oh my God, this is my favorite podcast ever. I love you guys so much. That Red Jack character is the hottest person I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I also do edit you into it too, so like, you know, that's also a thing.
I was about to say, like we need actually we're getting some new artwork for the two of you at some point.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah
it's Mizuki had an outfit change. She got blasted scarier with a shotgun.
Oh yeah, that happened, by the way. Mizuki got shot.
You shot my fake girlfriend with a fake shotgun?
No.
Ed did.
No. Ed Spence did.
Oh, I swear to God, Ed, if you're listening.
Double barrel.
Anyway, up a change. Anyway, that's me. That's what I got going on.
That's amazing.
Which is whatever the internet says.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the first mini series. And we're gonna kind of dive in. I'm gonna provide some context for everybody. As we go.
Everyone died.
Everyone died. No, I'm just kidding. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All set.
Mizuki, it has been 1 month since what is now being called the Great Reset. Most people forget the catastrophic magical events that occurred 30 days prior. But everyone's aware that something happened. Because certain people do remember. Some people kept it quiet to themselves. Some people woke up one morning realizing that 12 days of their life was gone. And the city of Omati, feeling this great loss of time and agency, has been dealing with it in the only way that they know how, which is to rebuild. Rabbit is gone. Burnus has taken over as the head of the tavern at the AAA Tavern from Rabbit's blessing. And here we find ourselves in the Ivy District of Omati, the artisan district, at a small wine bar out amongst flowers on the patio, where you sit sipping a glass of white wine, sweet, and reading a book. What are you doing?
Probably reading a book. It's a new book.
Ooh.
I think she either stole this or asked permission.
Yeah.
It really depends. She probably took some books from Locke.
Yeah, you're reading the book that Locke had delivered towards the end of the last campaign, actually. And you definitely lifted it when he wasn't looking. It's The Devil Went Down to Faerun.
Okay.
And
that was quick.
And as
it's
you
got a list.
I got a list of these. and as you read the pages, you were entranced in it. And obviously why, it's very well written. For example, one passage reads,
oh God,
his voice was a whisper of embers, a purr that curled around the edge of her mind like smoke seeking a way in. Do you know what happens to mortals who bargain with devils, little thing? He asked, tracing one elegant clawed fingertip along the curve of her jaw. His touch burned, not fire, but something deeper. Something that made her breath hitch and her knees soften. She tilted her chin up, meeting his gaze, those endless, infernal eyes, promising pleasure and peril in equal measure. His horns gleamed in the candlelight, wickedly curved, perfect for grasping, for guiding. I know, she murmured. And I know what happens to devils who bargain with me. His slow, knowing grin sent a shiver down her spine. The contract was inked in fire and signed in gasping breath before the night was through. At the bottom, there's a quick note.
Okay.
That is it clearly in Locke's handwriting, saying, huh, bold of them to assume that's where tiefling's horns go. And distracted by this note, you do feel a tap on your shoulder. Looking up, Mizuki, you see the happy face of Kibo.
Kibo!
Hi, Mizuki, how are you doing?
I'm gonna shut the book.
Oh, so well, can't read. What's that? Is that?
Nothing. Hi, what, did you come to drink some wine?
So actually I came to find you.
Okay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How are you? Is there a reason you barely talk to me? So I
do you still talk to that captain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a month, but yes, probably. I know she's looking for a first mate.
Right. Do you think? We could go to the docks.
Yes, like, we could talk right now.
Okay. And he looks. Roll an insight check for me.
Oh, for my God! First roll.
Don't fuck it up.
I don't add anything to that, but it was still a 15.
Nice. That's that Hero Forge dice. With the 15, you can tell he is kind of panicking. He's freaked out. And you definitely get the sense that he thinks he's in trouble.
Is he like looking at anything in particular? Like he's running from like a certain direction? Like what's the vibe?
Definitely looking over his shoulder, and he keeps kind of looking down at his satchel. And he's got his paw in his satchel as well. And he doesn't seem to have any ill intent. He's just very, very panicked.
What you got there, Kibo?
I'll tell you on the way to the docks. And hopefully if that lady isn't there, then we can find another ship. I think I need to leave town.
What?
And I think you should go with me.
Okay.
Here. And
can I finish this wine first?
Take it with you. And he kind of grabs your hand and starts to kind of pull you along.
Okay.
You stumble through the streets with Kibo, and he just kind of is looking over his shoulder, looking through down alleyways as he's going towards the docks. And he seems, it becomes even more obvious. He is frightened by something. And he feels the need to move very quickly.
I don't need to make a deck save, right?
No. There's Bank nothing fog. To trip over right now.
Yeah, am I tripping? Am I good? Is that over now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you dealt with, you know, the problem in the last campaign. It's settled. I'm going to get Diana to listen.
What's the problem? Find out if you listen to Campaign 2.
Yeah. An inner ear issue, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, an inner ear issue. She just falls all the time. Do you have any questions for him, or you just follow him to the docks?
So did you like steal something or?
No. So you know how like all of those things happened like a month ago? Of course you do. You were the reason it happened. Sorry. So I just got a letter.
And he pulls out parchment, and it's folded, and it has a seal, a wax seal, where it, you know, had been broken. He had clearly opened it, and he kind of hands it to you as he pulls you along, expecting you to read it as you walk. Do you open it?
Yeah, she reads it.
Yeah, it's from, at the top, it's got this letterhead in big blocky ink letters. It says, "The Bureau of Discovery and Containment, BDC. Dear Kibo, my name is John, and I am the director of the Bureau of Discovery and Containment, a new organization sanctioned by the Omati government, with the mission to find, contain, and catalog magical anomalies before they threaten the stability of Omati again. Simply put, we would like to meet with you to discuss two things. One, the occurrences that occurred approximately 2 weeks ago. You can see that this is dated for about a week before. And two, to ascertain your origin, given that we can't find any records of your birth in the Omati Records Library. Please contact me at your earliest convenience to arrange an appointment. Sincerely, John, Director, Bureau of Discovery and Containment." Mizuki, having finished the letter, you're almost at the docks.
So are you like under arrest? Are we like evading arrest? Is that what's happening?
I don't
Why
know.
Do I have to come with? I'm not mad. I'm coming with you.
So I went.
You're so small.
I asked, and Rabbit's the only one that knew where I came from. And I don't know where I came from. And I'm worried that I'm an anomaly and I need to get out. And you're also an anomaly because you're weird. And
thank you. I think.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And anyways, we're here. So I think you and I need to get out of town for a bit.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't planning on staying anyway, so.
You're at the docks.
I see Red Ship.
And in the distance, as if summoned by some temporal god of dice and necessity, you see Captain Red Jack Riptide's ship pulling into the harbor. Red, you remember that last time you were in Omati, it was overrun with zombies and flames and smoke in the sky, and there was a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. And you left, rightly so. You noped right out of there. having been at sea for 30 days, you don't really know what's been going on, but you need provisions. And this entire time you've been dealing with a problem in your mast. Captain Red, you have this tree for a mast still. And inside of it, there's this red pulsating light and you can't quite get to it.
As but in, like, it's at the core of the tree and we haven't, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think at this moment, Red is just, for one of several days in a row, just kind of munching on a crepe and standing, arms crossed, staring at the light. Just trying to ascertain where it's from, what it means. She tried interpreting the pulses into several different equivalents of Morse code by now, and nothing seems to match.
Your crew informs you that you are in the harbor and asks, do we want to drop anchor?
Yeah. Sorry. Go for it. Let's get ashore as quick as possible. I want to See if some of my old contacts are still around and not eaten by zombies and all that.
Of course, says your second mate, Praise. I'll get the ship down and we can go on shore. You want to go for first boat? You want to go second boat, Kemp?
She, in one bite, finishes the rest of her crepe and she goes, I'll go first. I mean, you never know what's up there. I want to, you know, make my way over to the AAA as soon as I can, just for, you know, reasons, just to check on things and people and whatnot.
Is shore leave authorized for any of us, or you want just do it for now and we come on later?
Can I look over the crew and see if there's anything in particular? Are they antsy to get ashore, or are they afraid of what they saw last?
Honestly, they're terrified of what they saw last time, and they're kind of hoping you're not going to give them shore leave.
I'm going to kind of scope it out and just go, nah, y'all can take a break. Have what's left of the red wine.
Oh, yeah, the red wine. All right, on it. You know, it's more like pink. It's like a rosé.
I just give him a hard stare.
I am so sorry. All right. Well, you can take this boat. And then he gestures towards one of the little rowboats that is self-driving, so you don't have to actually row. Magically propelled, and offers a hand to guide you to step into it.
Thank you very much. Don't let the place get overrun by another set of trees while I'm gone. And
I'll be honest, ma'am. I don't know that it's my capability, but I'll do whatever I can without burning the whole place down.
Much appreciated.
Country boy can survive. All right, have fun. And he kind of gives you a little salute and lowers the ship to the water, and you start making your way on in. Mizuki, make a perception check.
Yeah, okay. Don't fail me, Mizuki does. That's a 4.
Oh no.
Mizuki, the ship stops moving, and that's about all you see.
I'm just glad I see the ship, honestly.
Kibo turns and looks at you and says, so do you see that ship?
Yeah, the one with the giant tree for a mast? Yeah.
It's got a tree?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I don't really, the orb did, you don't, we didn't, we don't talk. I know very little about you.
Kibo turns to you and he kind of looks over your shoulder down the dock and he says, uh-oh.
Kibo, what?
Look. And he points. Roll another perception check. We'll see how it works.
Okay. 5. What the fuck?
Oh. Incrementally better.
Incrementally better, yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah, incrementally better. We need
She's confused, okay? Random panda man grabbed her hand and ran.
You don't see anything but the hustle and bustle of fishermen and
No. There's a guy watching us.
And sure enough, now that it's pointed out, thank God, for D&D. You see just an individual standing there, hands on his hips, dressed in all black, almost like a suit, so to speak. Just watching the two of you.
So he's just looking at us. People tend to stare at me sometimes.
Does he look like a John?
Does he look like a John?
Yeah, I don't know what Johns look like.
I don't know what Johns look like either.
I feel like he's probably a John.
You feel like that's so we should go. Like, we go to the ship now is what you're saying. Listen, you don't have to pull my leg. And she's going to make towards Red Ship.
Yeah. So you walk down the dock towards the ship. Unfortunately, you can't walk on water. However,
that's so weird. What do you mean?
Red, at this point, you're getting close to the dock and you see Mizuki and Panda Boy pulling her by the hand towards the end of the dock.
I immediately start, like, you know, making sure my hat is on straight, smoothing down my hair, and I go and stand at the bow of this little tiny, as best as you can call it, a bow of this boat, and very much Pirates of the Caribbean style, lift one foot up onto the edge of it and have my hands on my hips. and try and look stoic as I approach. I'm still like 10 minutes out. So she stands there looking stoic for maybe 10 minutes straight, pretending not to make eye contact.
Make a performance check for me.
Oh, no. This is performance of all things. Oh, my God. Why am I so good at performance? Well, I forgot I'm a bard.
Pirate stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You are a bard.
You're a bard and you forgot.
Listen, not a good bard.
It's a character. What'd you roll?
12 total.
Okay, 12 total. Hey, wow, you guys need to work on your dice.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that RNG.
I'm normally not well. This bad. This has been, yeah. I think, pretty bad for me so far.
It has been. Yeah, you managed to look impressive to a certain extent. Mizuki, at this point, you can definitely see Captain Red. And however, you can also see this individual dressed in all black that is ostensibly potentially a John walking down the dock a little hurriedly now that you have clearly made contact with someone. Captain Red, you gently bump up against the edge of the dock, and this panda boy kind of looks down at you and says, "Are you Captain Red Jack Riptide?"
I immediately look around, pretending to pass off this very weighty name to anyone else. And then I look down at the empty boat and look over at him and look at the boat again. And I go, "Yeah, all right. Listen, you're not a cop, are you?"
"No, my name is Kibo, and this is Mizuki. You guys know each other." "Oh,
I mean, Mizuki. Hey, how have you been?"
It's been a month.
It's been a month. She cuts herself off and goes in for a hug.
"Oh, okay." Reciprocates.
Oh, she kind of like lifts you off your feet a little bit and then gives you like a half twirl and sets you back down.
So I would love to catch up, but there is, I think, a man chasing him at the very least. And you got a ship. You needed a first mate, right?
Red, make a perception check.
I will do my best. Maybe a couple months of time have made these better. We'll see.
Let's get the yips out.
Well, 5 total.
You don't see. Oh my God!
We're gonna narrow them down.
For the listening audience, Diana just threw her dice.
So now, Diane, I just want to say that I need you to go check and see what you just rolled by throwing that.
Oh, man. Okay. Because
I'll consider using it.
Oh, please hold.
Yeah.
A 12, so 13 total.
We'll take it. Listen, that
you just need to keep throwing your dice further and further away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The others know what's up now.
You see this individual coming down the dock and as described, looking kind of determined, and this person starts to break out into a soft trot now that Mizuki and Kibo have made contact with you.
Is it the weird looking guy in the suit?
"Yeah, it is. I'm gonna get in your boat now, okay?" And he hops in. He says, "You're looking for a first mate?"
Yeah, I mean, the job's open, but all right, here, hold on. And I'm going to go over and I'm like, "Here, duck down a little bit. Try and get beneath the edge."
Yeah, duck down below the edge. Done. And Kibo's going to make a stealth check.
As he does, I'm going to go over and tap him as best I can, pretending as if I'm moving sacks or some sort of like material around the boat. I'm going to cast invisibility.
Oh, that's perfect. He rolled a 21, so...
Oh, shit.
He's gone, actually.
Kibo just kind of goes, like, stiff as a board and then, like, folds up into, like, a ball. And, like, you can just perfectly move him around as a little panda ball.
I stand, and with one hand kind of on the hilt of my sword, I straighten up and make direct eye contact with this random dude who's approaching.
And he calls out and says, "Excuse me, I have may have a moment of your time, madam, captain."
"We don't have to deal with him if you don't want to, Red."
Listen, the boat's not that fast. Let me at least see what he wants. This is a little...
I reasonably believe you might have persons of interest aboard your ship, and I need to unfortunately detain you for a moment.
I turn to him and still kind of hand on sword. I go, well, who's asking?
My name's John. I'm with the Bureau of Discovery and Containment. I have an official warrant here. And he pulls out a piece of paper as he's coming up to the edge. Mizuki, you didn't try and hide at all.
No, I didn't. He's not after me.
I have a warrant here for questioning of two individuals that I believe are in your vicinity. One is Kibo, and the other is Mizuki. I can clearly see that you have Mizuki, and therefore...
What? Could you tell me why you want to speak to me? And as I do that, can I weave into those words charm person?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Can you make a wisdom save for me? John, please don't be wise.
Natural 20.
Fine.
Sorry. He says, ma'am, I'd like to ask you to stop using magic on me. And now.
Yeah, but what if I try it again? And then can I cast slow?
I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Motherfuck. Is this a spell?
Yes.
I have advantage.
Nice.
Oh, thank fuck, I have advantage. That is a 19.
19. He extends his hand to cast hold person on you.
Can I follow up a cast slow?
Absolutely.
I'm running out of spells just to do this shit.
Oh, this is all good. Right.
Yeah. I need another wisdom save.
Yeah, absolutely done. That's not nearly as good. That's a 12.
Cool. 17 is what he needed. So he slowed.
That basically reduces the speed to zero, right?
It's half.
The speed. Ma'am, as much as I would like to engage in a battle of spells with you,
I'd win. You're slow as fuck right now. And then I want to grab Brett's hand and jump on the ship. And,
start paddling away.
Not paddle. I'm wondering if I could use Eldritch Blast to, like, because it's force, to, like, you know, propulse. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, to kind of, like, motor along a little bit
faster? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, stick your hand under the water?
Yeah, go, like, boop.
That's creative. I'll allow you to cast Eldritch Blast directly behind the ship to give you a little propulsion of a wave, but I will make you do a spell attack.
That's okay.
Some fish under there is going to get, like, blasted.
Dude, just, I'm about to decimate a school of fish. That is a 20, not natural.
Oh, yeah, no, you perfectly aim. You three blasts of Eldritch Blast at this point? You have three beams?
I do have three beams.
Yeah, so three beams of Eldritch Blast, and you are propelled forward away from the dock. John is left there just kind of hollering after all of you, but he is very quickly in the distance.
Slowpoke.
Kibo turns.
Kibo, you didn't tell me they wanted me too.
I didn't know. I got a letter. And where do you even live?
No.
But so he said your name too? I was kind of curled up in a ball.
Yeah. So thanks for finding me, because I also need to get the hell out of Dodge.
Where's Dodge?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, we'll get out of here. I kind of, as best I can, turn around and start doing, like, big hand wave motions towards the boat in the manner that they've definitely been taught, retcon, to start pulling up the
end. I know this radio.
It's your ship. We'll allow you to do that. Like. you see them quickly start to raise sails and pull in the anchor as you pull up. You hook the eye holes, the eye loops of the on the rowboat to the ship so that they can hoist it up. But they send a rope ladder down to you to get you on board more quickly. Praise comes up and says, "Well, now, Captain, you just said that was quick. We rum running or something? Like, what's going on?"
Hi.
Not rum, a panda. Oh. And I point at the empty spot next to me where I assume Kibo is.
Kibo's still invisible.
Right, right. So you brought that lady back. What's her name?
Mizuki.
Right, Mizuki. Mizuki, welcome back. You might not remember. My name's Price. I'm the second mate. We don't have first mate, but I'm hoping for the promotion. Oof. Yeah. And you brought this panda fella.
Yeah. Right here. Listen, apparently these two are wanted. We're getting out of here. You all know the drill.
Oh, aren't we all wanted at this point?
Yeah, so they're in good company.
Oh.
Although, what for exactly? What happened?
I didn't get caught committing a crime that I'm aware of. No, did I get caught committing a crime that I'm aware of?
No. Kibo says, I don't, they just... It just says what the letter says, which is the Bureau of Discovery and Containment. Their mission is to find, contain, and catalog magical anomalies before they threaten stability again.
Right. Well, between you and the tree, we've got plenty of anomalies to ship around. So yeah, nothing new here.
What's up with this tree? It's kind of like...
I didn't do it.
I feel like I want to hug it.
Maybe don't do that. I don't know what happens when two anomalies... touch each other and things like that, and I can't get rid of it
because it's my
god,
little mini anomaly.
I read this book once; it was very wordy, but it told me.
Praise turns to you, Captain Red, and says, "Well, now I'll get us underway. We'll be out of the harbor in 5 minutes. All right, Captain."
Right, sounds good. Thank you, Praise.
He's
you
do good slowed work. For at least a little bit more.
All right, sounds good. Well, you know, I don't know nothing about no Bureau of Discovery and Containment, Captain, but sound like feds to me.
Yes, indeed. We're out of here. Do you know where we should go, Mizuki? I'm deferring to you on this one. This is all new to me.
To hide from the feds? I feel like you would know very well how to do that.
All right, if it's my choice. I know an island.
Okay. Let's head out. Is it the same one?
Not that same one, the other same one.
I don't want to go back to...
No, no, gods no.
Yeah.
That's funny. You guys look over, and as Praise walks away, muttering under his breath, saying something about, you know, what's always wanted and never needed. I don't understand why. Anyways. And Kibo... kind of is walking up to the tree mast in the center of the ship. As a reminder for everyone, this tree has sprouted in the center of the ship to replace Captain Red's mast. And it's got beautiful branches between which are vines and leaves woven together to create sails. And these sails are full of wind as the ship is heading out of the harbor. Make a perception check, Mizuki. Actually, no.
Thank God.
Perception or nature?
Which is better for me? Nature, arguably. I'm a satyr. Of course it is. Yeah. It's still only a fucking 11.
That's something. You don't need much for this. You can tell that the sails are full against the wind.
Cool. So we're going fast.
Yeah. Well, it's very much the sails are being magically filled by a source you know not. The Kibo kind of puts his ear up to this tree. And he closes his eyes.
You hear squirrels in there?
No, I hear something inside. Captain, where'd this tree come from?
And I kind of step up next to him. I mean, it just kind of appeared. A kraken took out the mast, and then we used a powerful orb of some variety in its vicinity, and then it just decided to plant itself. It's kind of an eyesore, but it works.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It feels like it's talking to me.
Oh, gods, what's it saying? We had this happen before. We're not. And I immediately instinctively go to put a hand on his shoulder.
As you do, you can hear what he's hearing.
Oh, shit.
And it's...
Kibo? Kibo, son of... Son of no one. Son of... Sabishi? And... Elena? You are interesting.
All right, Kibo, let's take it back a couple steps back there. And I'm going to kind of gently pull him away.
It's not hard. He's very fuzzy.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, Mizuki, why don't you take Kibo down to one of the quarters away from, maybe on the further side of the ship, away from this thing. It's speaking to him. It's giving him some sort of lineage info, but also saying that he's interested in. I don't know if we should keep him around on this thing.
On near the ship, mast or the here. Ship?
Where am I going to go?
No, we're just going to take you to a room? Mm-hmm. Correct?
Can you take me to the galley? I'm a little peckish.
Oh, you're going to love the cook. And Mizuki's going to grab Kibo's hand and drag him.
If the cook asks you for your time, say no.
Okay.
That's fine, Kibo. Let's go.
And they head below deck. Captain Red, what are you doing on deck?
I'm going to immediately turn and glare at this mast. And as best as I can, I'm going to signal over to Praise.
Yes, ma'am. What? How can I help you?
Hey, we have a safe house close by. Yeah, can we take the crew to an island somewhere? I feel like the sooner we get Kibo off the ship, it's probably best.
Right. Do you have any particular islands in mind? You don't want to go back to that creepy wizard place, right?
No, gods no. I would go back to Burn It Down specifically, and I hate fire. I would say maybe the other. She kind of thinks to herself.
Why don't we go over to Morgul Cove?
Am I familiar with Morgul Cove? Is it
inhabited? Yeah, you are. Yeah, it's completely uninhabited. It's a home for smugglers.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. How far away? How many days?
Golly day from Omati, probably about 2 days. One night, 2 days. He looks up at the sun. Day and a half. We'll be there tomorrow night, is what I'm trying to say.
All right.
We're almost out of red wine, though. And yeah, I think that one more night, we might run out of it.
Shit. Okay. Well, worst news I've heard all day. We'll deal with that later.
It's still kind of like pink.
Well, okay. Second worst news I've heard all day. Stop questioning the wine. Let's go.
Yes, ma'am. And he runs around and starts talking to the crew members, and they turn in the direction of north, heading towards Morgul Cove. Mizuki, below deck with Kibo, you take him to the galley, and he steps in, and the galley is a whirlwind of activity right now. There's steam in the air. It smells like garlic. There's also interwoven smells of rosemary and baked bread.
No, you're making me hungry.
And popping out from behind all of it is the familiar face of the Fae, Dana. She says, "Oh, dearies, it's so good to see you. And did you bring me Kibo? Kibo.
You know Kibo?
Oh, how do I not know about Kibo? Kibo is so famous in the Feywild. The boy that shouldn't have been."
Music is going to try to recollect as someone from the Feywild. I'm like, what is, huh?
Oh, it's okay, dear. You didn't run the same scholarly circles that I did.
I like to have my fun. Room.
I'll tell you, Kibo was found, not made. He's a foundling. How about that? Kibo, dear, come here. You belong here in this. You're just like your fathers before you. You belong here, and this is your home. Do you want to make some cranberry muffins? And Kibo kind of just looks up wide eyed, eyes as big as the dinner plates around him, and says, Yeah, that would be. Is this
Kibo's really good at baking I've had some of his sweet treats. They're really good. He's also a writer, I think.
Mizuki. And he reaches down into his satchel and he pulls out two little scrolls.
Are these for me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll read these later.
You want to read one now?
I mean, I can if you want me to.
Not in front of me. And he like kind of grins and he goes back in with Dana and they disappear around the corner.
Okay, cool. She's going to open one of them then.
Scrawled in Kibo's now familiar to you handwriting. But you see at the top, it says "A Secret Name" by Kibo.
So funny.
Oh, man.
She told me her name like it was small. Like maybe I wouldn't remember at all. But I kept it tucked behind my teeth, a secret warm beneath my breath. I tried it out when no one could hear, soft and careful like it might disappear. Mizuki, Mizuki, like something I found, a name that feels better when I say it aloud.
Oh, what a sweet little guy.
Make an insight check.
God.
Oh, man.
Is this when she finally catches on? Find out next week on Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z.
Objectively not, unless a 10 is enough.
No, she has no idea. Cool. No idea.
I don't add anything to insight, guys. I keep rolling poorly on this.
Nope. How about this? I'm just going to get the yips out of the rolls for you. Let's make another roll. Make a perception check for me.
I don't add anything to that either. It's a 2.
Oh my God.
We need to talk.
I'm throwing that one too. That one's, I threw it. It's gone.
What did you roll on the throw?
Oh fuck, I threw it really far. Hold on.
That's objectively funny.
It is.
I'm having so much fun.
This is That's the most so fuck.
That was an 18.
18?
Yes. Throw it across my room.
You see that the... down the walls of the galley, they're misshapen where you would expect to see planks. They kind of bubble out in certain places. Like, and with an 18, I'll just go ahead and give it to you. They look like, you know how like when tree roots grow under a sidewalk?
Oh, the roots have ingrained themselves in the shit.
Mm-hmm. And you can instantly tell, you can see like a little... bloom popping through, actually, one of them, just three little green leaves. You can tell that it's actually been watered by Dana. You feel a pull towards it.
Mizuki's gonna look around to see if anyone's looking at her.
Mm-hmm. Nobody.
Cool, she's gonna poke it. She's gonna go up and look at it and poke it.
I see we've learned nothing since I was last on this show.
No.
Not a thing. Mizuki, you reach out and as soon as you touch this exposed root, you hear a little voice in the back of your head and it sounds familiar. And says, Mizuki, I missed you.
Is it the orb? Is it the voice of the orb, Noah? It
sounds like the voice of the orb.
I think that she's going to look around.
Up top. I'm in the tree.
Is that where you went?
Yeah. Did you think you could get rid of me that easily?
No, but I like to lie to myself.
Mizuki. We have a lot to do. I thought that being on this ship would take me places, but Captain Red Jack Riptide does never let me get off the ship. I don't think she knows I'm here.
Why are you here?
Because this is home for now, in the world tree.
What do I roll to see if I know what the world tree is? Do I know what the world tree is?
I
thought she knows, but...
Yeah, roll a religion check.
Fuck. Seven.
Sadly.
Guys, it's so bad. I'm not that religious either, as long as you know. I only got plus one.
Yeah, all you know, that the world tree sounds familiar, but you don't really know much about what it is. You know that there's some sort of religious significance there, but beyond that, that's it.
What'd you do to her ship?
I just gave it what it needed, which was a little bit of pizzazz.
I think I had enough of that myself. You didn't need to do that.
No, it's okay. Would you go up top and just touch the knot in the tree for me? That way you and Captain Red and I can have a proper chat.
We'll see.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
Fucking shit. God damn it.
Is this a spell? This isn't a spell.
It's
is it
not.
A spell? Yeah. Fucking. That's a bit better. That's a 24. Get fucked.
Oh, nice. Well done. You were not compelled to do so. But you may still do so if you want.
We'll see. And I want to stop touching this thing.
Yeah, you can do that pretty easily.
Yeah. Do I still hear the voice after I remove my hand?
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick my head back more in the galley towards Data and Kibo and just yell at Kibo, hey bud, don't touch the tree.
Did okay? You read the poem?
I did. It was very sweet. Thank you, Kibo.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Just did you like away. It? You liked
I,
it?
Yes, I did like it. Do you have more? Wait, you gave me two. Do you want me to read this one too?
Need of time. It's not super pressing. I want to spread it out. And anyways, I'm making crepes. And it goes in the back.
Could you make me the captain a strawberry one?
Strawberry and hazelnut chocolate spread.
Thank you, Kibo.
Do you want some powdered sugar on it?
Yes.
What about sliced bananas? I froze them. Dana has like a freezer that freezes things really fast.
Whoa, yeah, just bring it up to the captain's quarters later.
What are you gonna do there?
Anyway, bye, Kibo.
Okay.
And he just kind of disappears back around the corner.
Mizuki's gonna make her way back up to the top deck and look for Red.
Yeah, Red is currently just kind of like staring down the mast with even more scrutiny than before, but at the same time, she's doing so from behind the helm of the ship, kind of guiding it along. And she gives you a little wave as you approach.
Hello. So we have more problems.
Already? You just got here.
Are you surprised?
No, but fuck.
Yeah.
All right. What is it? The mast?
Yes. It is. It is the mast. Do you know, remember that, little orb. We have a lot to catch up on. Save the world.
Yeah, so I see. And she vaguely gestures around at the empty ocean around her, and she goes, still here, still smuggling. I appreciate you, making sure my job's secure and all that. But I thought the orb wouldn't be a problem anymore. Is it?
I might have used it and then it disappeared, and I think it's here.
Uh-huh. On the ship? You mean like, and she points,
she's got a point to the mast.
God fucking, I knew that mast was up to no fucking good.
Well, it's a giant tree. Did you also, what's the world tree?
Can I rack my memory?
Yeah, make a religion check.
Oh boy, Captain Redjack, famously religious.
Yeah. I mean,
20, dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Okay,
hey.
You know that the world tree is not just a tree, it is the tree. To those who believe in the world tree and follow, you know, follow the religious circumspection around it. It is a living cosmic axis connecting all realms, all fates, all time. It is vast, sacred, and full of old and ancient power. And it, in theory, is a tree from the center of the cosmos.
Ah, shit. I turn to Mizuki and I just go, I kind of relay all that information, except more Texan. And I go,
except Texan.
Well, vaguely Southern. If you ask me what state her accent's from, I'm going to avoid the question.
Yes.
Just waves at south of just, the United States.
What part? The Southern part. So it's, I guess, in theory, the world's best anchor, but also the world's most inconvenient mast.
Well, it's not supposed to be that, so yes.
And it's speaking to you. And to Kibo.
I don't know if it's more the tree or more the orb. I was told that we should have a conversation with it, but I'm going to leave that decision up to you because we both know I'm just going to do it. But it's your ship.
I'd rather not compromise the integrity of the mast while we're in the middle of all this. And she gestures once again vaguely to the open ocean. She goes, listen, if this thing can control your mind, I'd rather we talk to it sooner rather than later before it decides to take over on its own accord. But we should probably maybe tie the both of you down before we do so, just in case. I got better rope this time. And so we'll be able to maybe make sure that it doesn't force you to do something against your will, just in case.
Why would we only tie me down then?
No, Kibo as well, but
Kibo, I haven't not heard anyone yourself else. As well?
I haven't heard any. And she starts blushing.
Wait, no. That's. We can discuss that other thing later, but the baseline, we should probably talk to the orb. I don't think we need to be tied down for a conversation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if anything weird happens, I'll tell the boys to grab the net, and then at the very least we have a backup plan because I don't want it taking over one of our minds and then all of a sudden we start sailing straight back towards the port.
That's fair. Do we have to do this right now?
And she kind of like gestures to Praise to take over the helm. And begins walking down the stairs towards the main deck. And she goes, yeah, I feel like I'd rather do it now. I mean, who knows what will happen? This thing is the world tree, too. I mean, I don't want to piss it off.
Well, it's on your ship. How attached to the ship are you?
She just stops half, like her foot halfway off the steps. And then just turns and gives you the most serious look you've ever seen her give. Very.
Okay.
Right. She'll continue walking. And I guess we'll just kind of collect Kibo and see if we can approach the tree for a little combo.
Do you want to collect Kibo before you talk to the tree?
Should we?
It's your ship.
He
is having a fun time with Dana. We don't have to. Also, she had said some things that also are really interesting. Apparently, Kibo's known in the Feywild.
What, really? Like,
yeah, apparently. Within certain circles, not the one I ran in.
Oh, cool.
The more bookish types.
Shit. Well, I'll upgrade his quarters then. But
VIP now.
He gets like a hammock with tassels,
as opposed to just like an empty sack.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not on the floor. He's floating in the air now.
He's fuzzy, so like he doesn't care. So as you all approach the tree, Mizuki, you see the reference knot in the wood, and as if instructions had been placed in your mind for future use. You know that if you just put your hand on it, something will happen.
Hey, do you remember that that time? Probably, of course, you do. With the hourglass,
you can see her visibly flinch a little bit as you say that, and she goes, "Yeah."
maybe this kind of works like that. Could I have your hand?
Well, I mean, you don't need to ask to have that. And she hands her hand over without a second thought.
Then in her mind, now that they're like physically connected, she's going to touch the knot. Hesitantly, because she don't trust this fucking tree.
And that's where we'll end that episode.
Oh, I fucking hate this tree.
Thank you for listening to Forgotten Paths, part of the May Contain Action Network. Our episodes release at least every other week on Monday mornings. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can support our podcast on Ko-fi, join our Discord, and follow us on Twitter by visiting our Linktree, which is included in the show notes. Finally, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. See you next time on Forgotten Paths.